It's time to take a stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Discernment or deception, which will you choose? Hi, everybody. It's Eric Barger here at Take a Stand. Glad you joined me today. I want to spotlight a message called Discernment or Deception, Which Will You Choose? It was recorded up at Jan Markell's Understanding the Times Conference in Minnesota, something over a year ago now. It's a terrific conference, a terrific time with several thousand people from all over the country and literally around the world that come to her conference. This message about discernment is so needed today, just as the understanding about what the deceptions are that are facing us. Now, as you listen to the first part of this message, you can go to our website at ericbarger.com. And if you desire, you can get a DVD of this or a CD of this message. You'll find them at our website, ericbarger.com. You're going to hear Jan introduce me, and then I'll get right into the message and be back with you live in just a few minutes. So here's Jan.
I think if I were to ask almost any of you, if you thought you would live to see the day, well, we could just say in general, if you ever thought you would live to see the day that things are happening at the lightning speed they're happening, the trauma, the in some cases, you find yourself at a loss of words. But I'm going to take that a step further and say, did you ever think that you would see the sad state of the church as it is today? And it is that way because somewhere along the way, and I'm hoping Eric Barger will tell us, discernment was tossed into a river with a great big rock around it so it would sink to the bottom of the river and never come up to haunt anyone again. But there are people who are still out there monitoring, such as Eric Barger. Somebody said once, very recently, and see, there's nothing wrong with that old-time religion. And what many of us just want is Jesus plus nothing, no additives. No additives for postmoderns, no additives for anything. Just give us the Bible, okay? However, I am quite familiar with the churches in the Twin City area, and I'm not going to, well, I'm not naming any names, but I can tell you they are few and far between that are presenting no additives. Now, Eric's going to explain some of this to you. He does it very, very skillfully. How it happened, when it happened, and one of the biggest things that troubles us, if you listen to my radio program, you may say, Jan, you know, could you get off this emergent church business? He'll explain that a little bit too. The thing is, it's taking over entire denominations. And it's very, very, you talk about, I mean, it's so filled with additives, the Bible isn't even there. And there are other things that go along with this whole movement, this death of discernment. So I've asked, and Eric is a dear brother, he's the brother I never had, and he is going, I've asked him to lay it out by way of his message and PowerPoint. What are the things you need to be watching for? Because you may say tonight, you know, that's not going to happen to me, it's not going to happen to my church, it is not, it's irrelevant. Next Sunday, you could step inside your church, and suddenly everything's different because they decided a new way of doing church is what's needed in the 21st century. But Jesus is left out in the parking lot. Eric Barger from Take a Stand Ministries in the West Coast, please come up and give us your wit and wisdom.
Thank you, Jan. Good evening, everybody. I am very glad to be with you this weekend and to be a part of this conference. I encourage you whenever I'm speaking, and really I think the other speakers would say the same thing, whenever somebody's up here, be prepared to take some notes, especially to write down some scriptures. And there'll be scripture in each one of my messages, and I'm sure the other gentlemen will have other things, and we will all have something we'll want you to take a look at. Get my PowerPoint working, see if it's up on the screen. This is my 27th year full-time traveling ministry across the U.S. and Canada. And somebody was at a conference and looked at me and said, "So, brother, you thinking about doing this full-time?" I went, "Yeah, I think I am. 200 days a year we're on the road, and the rest of the time we're researching and writing and putting things on the web and preparing our newsletters and that kind of thing. And so I'm out there doing this full-time." And, of course, when you deal with these kind of issues, you're always making somebody upset. That's all right, isn't it? I mean, if they're getting a point and if they're getting some research, it's okay that somebody might be a little bit disturbed. I think we need to be disturbed about the shape of the church. I concur with what Jan said. There's very little that she and I talk about that we don't agree 100% on. So maybe that's scary, isn't it? But we see a lot eye to eye about these issues. So Melanie and I are full-time out there. I've written books that deal with spiritual warfare. And, of course, all of this is really on spiritual warfare. And tonight we're going to talk a little about the most dangerous cult. And I'll tell you what I think it is in a few minutes. And of course, the end time occult invasion, I've been on the air with Jan and I've dealt with that. I've written a book called Entertaining Spirits Unaware that deals with that. And so I'm kind of showing you what our ministry is all about. I was a New Ager before it was ever called New Age. And so when I talk about the New Age movement, it's something I understand from the inside out and some of the deceptions that we see in it. And I lived in Seattle too, the hotbed of New Age philosophy for at least two decades. We deal with world religions such as Islam, and we'll deal with that a little this evening. The errors of the emergent church. I know it's a DVD that Jan has carried for a long time. Many of you have come to our book table already and talked to me and said you've seen it. And I appreciate the fact that so many people are supportive about it. But a lot of people don't want you to talk about that issue. And we'll get into that tomorrow afternoon with some depth. The Death of Discernment, this is the title of the book I'm writing right now. How the Shack Became the Number One Bestseller in Christianity. It's the biggest selling DVD we have ever had. And it's one that Jan has carried. And we've had that on the air several times. And you get kind of a look at my life here. These are two pictures that kind of show you where I've come from. That is me on the left in that picture. I was a rock musician, a record producer, a recording engineer, a drug addict, an alcoholic, and like I said, a New Ager before it was ever called New Age. And if God can save me, don't give up praying for anybody. He can save anybody. Amen? When my wife and I met, she was into witchcraft and reading books on witchcraft, and I was a New Ager throwing the I Ching and the Yarrow Sticks, and we picked a Christian marriage counselor at random out of a phone book, and she got saved, and 2 years later, kicking and screaming, I got delivered and saved. Praise the Lord. God is good. That's our testimony. Now, Saturday's topic. What we're going to do tomorrow, I'll tell you right now, my topic tomorrow is one that's going to raise some eyebrows. Is your church New Age? Is your church emergent? Or is your church authentically Christian? And we're going to compare the three belief systems and see who wins. I think we all know that answer already. But there's sure a lot of people running around the church today incorporating New Age philosophies into what they now call the emergent church movement. And tomorrow afternoon, when we deal with this, it'll be one you'll want to take some notes on. But this evening, we deal with discernment or deception. And really how it is a choice. It is a choice. And Jan certainly wasn't saying anything that is an absolute fact that you could walk into church tomorrow or this weekend and you could all of a sudden be in a different atmosphere, one without the Bible, one without Jesus, one without the absolute truths that we have in Scripture. It can happen. And so we need to be watchmen. Every one of us need to be watchmen about these things. Matthew 24, the disciples came to Jesus. And they said, "Master, what will it look like just before you return?" And Jesus didn't start giving them a long laundry list of what the world would look like and how there'd be oil crisis and financial crisis and how there'd be all these nations with nuclear weapons. Of course, he didn't talk about those things, but he didn't start out with even any of those facts. The first thing he says to the people he had been with, who he'd been teaching and living with month after month after month, the first thing he says to them is look out that you're not deceived. There's a message in there, folks. It's incumbent on each and every one of us in this room to be careful that we are not deceived. It can happen. It's happened to friends of mine. It's probably happened to friends of yours. It's happened in denominations that probably when their founders went to heaven, never dreamed they would ever have the theological dismay they have today. It can happen. It's happening right inside our churches, not just the liberal branches. It's happening inside the evangelical churches of today. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. There's a real message for the church in that today. So biblical discernment, understanding who we are and what we are to do, is often referred to as apologetics. And that, of course, for people who don't know, that doesn't mean you're sorry for anything. Apologetics is the Bible school term for the defense of the faith. And maybe the most famous usage of that term comes in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. We're to be able to give answers for our faith to those around us. And the word answer there is the Greek word apologia. It's the word we get the word apologetic from. We're to give an apologetic answer, a biblical answer, a reason why we believe what we believe. Most Christians, they fold up and blow away the minute they're challenged by an atheist or an evolutionist or a cultist or a Muslim. We need to give answers for why we believe. Our testimony is a great way to start. How we got saved and what Jesus did for us and how he has dealt with our lives and helped us and walked with us through all the storms and through the happy times both. And right alongside the word apologetics is the word polemics. And everybody here, I believe, needs to have a certain amount of apologetics and polemics in their life. And polemics, we really see it outlined here and illustrated in Ephesians chapter 5. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means expose them. So you've got to know what you believe and why you believe it before you can expose somebody else's religion as not the way. We need to reprove. And that's what we need to do as people, to explain truth to others, that they'll let go of false, worthless belief systems that cannot save anyone. There are many, many end time traps that are out there for the church today and for the world, obviously. They're all around us. And the occult maybe is one that is bypassed by the church because we say, oh, that would never affect us because, you know, we would never be involved in Satanism. And believe me, the occult is far more than just Satanism. You see, we have a very interesting, very prophetic thing going on right before our very eyes today in the church. For the first time, we're watching a whole generation who is hooked on the supernatural. They are looking at the occult as normal. That's a prophetic thing. If you read Paul's writings, you understand that's a very prophetic sign. One of the things that has to take place before the coming of the Lord, that the world around us would accept the occult as normal. The world is hooked on the supernatural. But of course, you all know they're not hooked on God. That's a prophetic thing. I have a message on that, a DVD on it. We've written about it in my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware. We've talked about this. Trying to get the church to realize that's one of a number of prophetic signs that are happening right before our eyes. The culture becoming conditioned to accept the supernatural is happening right before us. And there are the two items I just mentioned. It's happening right before our eyes. And many studies have been done about this. And one that really struck me in 2001, the ARIS survey, which is the American Religious Identification Survey, and it comes out every few years. Between 1991 and 2001, the number of Christians in America, or people who identified with being Christian, you know, anybody can claim to be a Christian, amen? But the people who identified with Christianity dropped from 86.2% to 76.5%, nearly 10% drop in 10 years here in America. But the most shocking thing in any ARIS survey that I've read, and I've read all of them I can get my hands on, the most shocking thing is in that same 10-year period, the rise of people who identified with Wicca, witchcraft, or neo-paganism rose by 1,675% in those 10 years. There's never been any jump in any religious category in the ARIS surveys like that. It's no longer just Disney or Harry Potter or The Lord of the Rings. It goes way deeper than that. Those are inroads that might attract some people here and there. And I never thought there'd be a disagreement about Harry Potter in the church. When I wrote the book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, my co-author Dave Benoit and I, we were sending emails back and forth, and he suggested we needed a chapter on Harry Potter. And I said, but Dave, Harry Potter is a no-brainer for Christians who read the Bible. And then about that time I realized, oh yeah, for Christians who read the Bible, it'll be a no-brainer. But a lot of people, of course, then started writing us, telling us, I'm a Christian, but... And then they tell us how we're so wrong about Harry Potter because it was teaching a great morality to our kids. And I said, so you want your kids to grow up thinking that it's okay to lie, cheat, steal, and swear? Which is what the heroes in the Harry Potter novels do. And that's the same stuff that the villains did when I was a little boy back in the 1950s. Isn't that interesting? Today we have heroes that do the same thing the bad guys used to do. Now the occult has become normal because our perception of what absolute truth is has changed. We have become desensitized and we are accepting in our culture relativism, and it's walking in the front doors of our churches, and sadly sometimes it's walking to the pulpit in our churches. This is the only way a culture would ever have accepted the idea of vampires for teenage girls. But that's exactly what happened in the Twilight series that Jan and I had on the radio one Saturday. I remember about a year or so ago when the Twilight movie came out. There's another one underway. These books have taken over. If you go by the stands in Walmart or Target or anywhere else, you see them. This is why countless well-meaning but misguided Christians have defended things like this. They become desensitized. It has become relativism to them. And then we have the whole UFO and paranormal and the unexplained. Why is there such a fascination right before Jesus comes back about these things? Because Satan is trying to sidetrack people to see things differently than what the Scripture says. He wants to destroy, to distract, to steal, to kill, however he can. So we see people following around talking about UFOs and experiences. We see all kinds of books that relate to these kind of things. And the whole crop circles, all these kind of things, shows on television, motion pictures and so on. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out, because just read what's popular on television, what's in the motion pictures, and what the most popular books are of our day. And they have supernatural themes to them, no doubt about it. It's all around us in the day we live in. Penn State University funds a paranormal investigation team. They chase demons and don't realize it. They call them poltergeist ghosts. And then, of course, there's Dennis Kucinich, who I think came from a UFO. The Ohio congressman who claims he had a 10-minute UFO encounter standing on Shirley MacLaine's back porch outside Tacoma, Washington. Probably came from Roswell, we don't know. One of the most wacky schemes I've come across. I mean, this is crazy, folks. Why would people ever buy into this? But there is a chartered bank in Europe called the Reincarnation Bank. And the idea is, you make deposits in this life, and then when you come back in your next life, you go into past life regression, and you remember your PIN number so you can make withdrawals. I am not teasing. I am not joking. That is an absolute fact. This is what this bank is chartered on. You know, as far as we know, nobody's ever made a withdrawal yet. Who said you can't take it with you? That's what these people are trying to do, the Reincarnation Bank. But it shows the attitude, the atmosphere of a culture that these kind of things would be what they would buy into. This idea of mysticism and New Age philosophy that's all around us is gotten to the place now where it's become a money scam. Well, not surprisingly, in the 2008 era survey, they said that the largest growing religious population in America was people who said they didn't have a religion. And it didn't shock me, because I believed when people would run after the supernatural and it didn't fill that need that every one of us have, and it didn't fill up that God-shaped void that we've heard people talk about inside them, they would then say, well, there's nothing that will satisfy, and they've given up and they've walked away, and they say there is no God, there is no spirit realm. That's the largest, fastest growing segment in American society right now. Well, there's a lot more to talk about, because if you look at the New Age movement, you have Oprah Winfrey leading the way with the New Agers out there. Just think about that. It is all around us. It is all around us in the culture that we live in. An estimated 100 million people are in the New Age movement here in the United States of America, according to Gallup poll. 100 million. Now, I've never seen a Gallup poll that was 50% wrong, but let's say it's 50 million. Wouldn't that still shock you? And you know, 3 out of every 4 people, according to Harris poll, 3 out of every 4 people who claim to be New Agers today say they used to be Christians. So we have all kinds of belief systems all around us, no doubt about that. We have the known cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the mind sciences, transcendental meditation. We have, I mean, it's all around us, these different things, drawing people, saying, come and follow us. We are the ones with truth. And we have the world religions all around us as well. We have Hinduism and Buddhism and of course, Judaism and Islam and Christianity, the five major world religions. And while all this and so much more that we don't have time to get into it, just these short little bullet points, with all this going on in the world, we're faced with something even more disturbing. Inside the church, we're faced with the most dangerous cult. You see, what would be worse than Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mayan sciences? What would be worse than Mormonism or Islam or the New Age movement? Why would any one cult be the worst? Because it's inside the church. It's right before our very eyes. You see, it's not the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, their worst, most dangerous cult. No. See, I believe the most dangerous cult is right in the church because I think it's any person, any church, or any denomination who claim to be Christian but do not present the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ as found in the Bible. Folks, listen to me. More people will go to hell because of liberalism in our pulpits and our seminaries than will ever go to hell because they worship the devil on Halloween night. When a church claims to be Christian but doesn't present the gospel, they are the worst of all cults. When I see the Mormons coming, I know what they believe with their bicycles and their Book of Mormon. When I see the Jehovah's Witnesses come down my neighborhood on Saturday afternoon usually and try to talk to us, I know what they believe. I know the false gospels and the false Jesuses in those belief systems. When I talk to the Muslims or when I talk to New Agers, I know what they believe. But these people, the most dangerous cult, claim to be us, but they don't believe the gospel and they don't teach the Bible.
Folks, it's Eric Barger once again. You've been listening to a message called Discernment or Deception, Which Will You Choose? It was recorded at Jan Markell's Understanding the Times Conference up in Minnesota. I encourage you to go to our website to find articles that deal with all the different issues that I brought up during this message. And of course, you can also get a copy of the DVD of this message that has all the PowerPoint on it and all the visuals. It was recorded live there at her conference up in Minnesota. You can just look on our website for Discernment or Deception, Which Will You Choose? And it's available in either DVD or in an audio CD. You can find all of my information at ericbarger.com. That's E-R-I-C. BARGER.com. I encourage you to go ahead and sign up for our newsletter as well. It's free of charge. We put out a printed newsletter every other month, and we put out an email newsletter about once a week or so. And both those are available to you free of charge by going to ericbarger.com or by calling the number that you'll hear at the end of the program. We'll be back next week, and we're going to pick up on this message, Discernment or Deception, Which Will You Choose? This is a hard-hitting message. It's got lots of documentation attached to it, and we're going to deal with issues that are affecting the church in the day that we live in. Now, of course, that's a lot of our ministry. As I travel across the country and present these seminars in churches and Christian schools and in, of course, conferences, we deal with issues that don't always make us feel good, so to speak. The feel-good church is certainly got a lot of members out there in our culture. We need the church that will once again use the Scripture to discern how we should live, just like the men of Issachar, to know the times and to know what we are to do. So that's what our ministry is all about, and I'll be back again next week and bring you more from this important message. In the meantime, God bless you. Keep taking your stand.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day. We'll
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.